with Pastor
Love
Lou.
Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. You are live at the Prophecy at the Midnight Hour with Pastor Lou of the Maryland Altar, and we are broadcasting live from Rockville, Maryland, which is a suburb of our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., the capital of the United States of America. This evening's segment, we're going to cover the United States of Sodom, a provocative title for a status on the update for national revival and repentance in the United States of America, in the land that acts much more here, the church, acts as the church of Sodom than she does the bride of Christ. And this evening, we're going to get down to the truth of the matter and the fact of the matter, and present you with the word of the Lord, what the Lord is speaking to the United States of America at this very hour, at this very, very late hour, and we are down to seconds before the imminent coming of our Messiah, and the bride does not look at all like she is ready for the coming of the Messiah. She looks much more as though she's ready to go out shopping or buying and selling, but not for a righteous, holy king. The verse, just one main verse for this evening, and this is in Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 49. The word of the Lord in Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 49. Just one verse, and we will also back that up. That's our foundation scripture to what the Lord is speaking. And we'll start at verse 49, Ezekiel 16, verse 49. Now this was the sin of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters were arrogant, overfed, and unconcerned. They did not help the poor and needy. That's Ezekiel 16, chapter 16, verse 49. This is Young's translation, which is a literal translation. We just heard from the NIV version. And this is how it reads in the Young translation, very elegant. Lo, this has been the iniquity of Sodom, thy sister, arrogancy, fullness of bread, and quiet ease have been to her and to her daughters. And the hand of the afflicted and needy she has not strengthened. This is Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 49. And if there is one scripture in all of Ezekiel that sums up the land of the United States of America, and specifically the church in the United States of America, it is Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 49. For though we rail against the sexual sin and admonish and warn and call for repentance from homosexuality and love of the world and sexual sin, if the church is arrogant, overfed, and unconcerned, she is reflecting the sins of Sodom, says the Lord. And let's get to the truth of the matter in the United States of America, for the call to national repentance has gone out for months and months on end, and it has come from the global church, as well as even locally in the United States of America, and not just Pastor Lou and Maryland Altar, but there have been other ministers and ministries and large ministries that have the power of the press and the television, and yet we still don't see repentance and revival in the United States of America. The great Joel 2:28 revival is in full bore swing. Lepers are being cleansed, the blind are receiving their sight, the cripples are walking, and in the United States of America, there isn't even enough power to charge a battery, for the Holy Spirit has been constrained from the church, for the Holy Spirit is holy, and we have left holiness out in the house of God. And we have taken holiness out of our lives. And the Holy Spirit resides, and his name details specifically that he is holy. The one who was given to us to guide, to teach, to comfort, the one who works the mighty deeds of heaven, the one whose spirit was over the waters, created life, we have kicked out of the church. And we will hear the church lament that, oh my, we've kicked God out of the courts and we've kicked the Lord out of the schools. But actually, we've kicked the Lord and the mighty Holy Spirit out of the church. But Pastor Lou, how is that possible? We worship the Lord, we praise the Lord, and we invoke the mighty Holy Spirit. How have we kicked him out of the church? And as we look at Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 49, we see the sin of Sodom and we see the sin of the church in the United States of America. That she is arrogant and we are arrogant over the top. I'll get to more on that later. Overfed, and we are the most obese nation in planet Earth, actually in planet Earth's entire history, and unconcerned. And we are complacent about sin. We are complacent about sin so that now we see pastors falling into the love of money. We see pastors selling the gospel. Who can't go to a website or to a church and actually buy a sermon on tape, on DVD, in pamphlet form, and they're being sold? The gospel of Christ is being merchandised from the pulpit. We see the selling of all sorts and manners of teaching materials from the church. Is it any wonder when Christ beat them out of the marketplace that surely the Holy Spirit doesn't hang around with such unholy riffraff? We must tell the truth and be honest, because the church is grumbling around and fumbling around blindly wondering why it is there is such an enormous power outage. Why all the calls to repentance and nary a scant piece of evidence to any revival at all in the United States of America? If we look at sexual sin, in the church, Matthew 5:28, for whoever looks upon another woman and lusts. And we'll hear the church say, no, we don't really do that, Pastor Lou. But now comes the truth. We have TVs in our homes with secular movies, and they're all littered and polluted with sexual images. We have cable TV that pours in all sorts of pornography, all sorts of lewd and crass, unholy programming, and it's worse than playing Russian roulette because all the chambers are spiritually loaded. And yet, many in the church think nothing of, let's get a satellite dish and pump in 250 stations. Let's sit it in the house, not in one place, but in every room in the house, and wonder why it is that all of these abominable images are reaching into their mind, wondering why it is that the old equation, you sow, you reap what you sow, and as they say in IT, in information technology, garbage in and garbage out. And we have the church spewing out the garbage from all that she consumes in her leisure time. Even the commercials on secular television, even the commercials throughout the day and the night will have overtones, will hint at sexuality, immorality, greed, and all of these things designed to make the Christian want and desire things of the flesh. And we have these in our homes throughout all the United States of America. We have secular movies and stacks of them in DVDs or what we're watching on the weekends. And some even go to the movie theater to see the next blockbuster, which is laden with sexual images, immorality, adultery, violence, and the list goes on. We say, well, you know what, Pastor Lou, we're not really looking at those movies. No. But we do have catalogs coming in the home, catalogs from Victoria's Secret, catalogs from a number of different Madison Avenue polished distributors that, again, are designed to do nothing but cater to the flesh. These are the things that we see the church has coming into her home. Secular sports, all sports and sporting events, Entertainment Sports Programming Network, known as ESPN, is a broadcasting station that was always good for large amounts of flesh, whether it's a basketball game and a cheerleader, a football game and lewd images, not to mention the commercials that are abominable. And on top of that, in America and in the church, everybody watches the Super Bowl to see what article of clothing will fall off next. I say, Pastor Lou, we can't watch the Super Bowl? Absolutely not. Throw it out and throw the television out, the immodest clothing out, the suggestive clothing, toss it out, the Hollywood videos, toss them out, and the cable certainly needs to go because that is a loaded 250 chamber revolver that even the young people can access. And you say, no, Pastor Lee, that is just far too dramatic. But that is the garbage that is coming in to the Church of Christ. That's what the church is using and what they call entertainment. Here in the States, we have massive amounts of time for entertainment. And we are consuming all of the carnal things that pull us away from the kingdom of God into the kingdom of men and into the kingdom of flesh. Even in the pulpit, even in the choir. So now we know, we have a number of interfaces to the world that we pay for that brings in garbage and creates sexual sin. Again, Matthew 5:28 is whoever looks upon another woman in lust. And entertainment and leisure time is one of the biggest blocks of time in an American's schedule. We schedule vacation. We have 2 days off at least per weekend and some more. And these are those that are working, not to mention those that unfortunately are not gainfully employed. And we know we have a lot of those people with a lot of free time on their hands. And these are the things that the church is consuming, hours upon hours. And so our children and our young daughters that go out dressed immorally, because that's what we're consuming. We see it in the commercials. We see it in the TV. And we see it in the movies. And they say, that must be okay. That's what the pretty people are doing. And we've become so numb to sin and so dead that the church doesn't even have the blood in her to blush. And if the Lord graded holiness on a curve, which he doesn't, but if he did grade holiness on a curve here in the States, we would still fail miserably, because even the other religions have a dress code of modesty, and they know what's provocative to the eyes, and they know what's provocative to the ears, but not the church in the United States. She'll go to church in short shorts and immodest dressing. She will wear all manner of immoral dressing to look good, to look younger, low-cut dresses, shirts, shorts, everything that is scintillating and titillating to the flesh. This is one area of consumption. This is one area of acceptance that the church in the United States has embraced wholeheartedly. And again, she doesn't even blush over her sin. Yet we know in Matthew 5:28 that if a woman dresses that way and causes a man to lust after her, which is the design in the first place, he's guilty of adultery and she is guilty of leading him into adultery. Those are the words of Christ. That was the standard that Christ set. Sexual sin has evaporated the power from the church, and the church needs to repent for sexual sin. So she can point the fingers at homosexuality and rebuke all she wants, but if she's not delivered, she won't be able to deliver anyone else. Here's the example. We all know it takes an outsider who's not in jail to bail out somebody who is in jail. Those that are in jail cannot bail themselves out. It takes somebody from the outside who is delivered out of jail to bail them out. And so it is in the kingdom of God. How can America repent when there's sexual sin in the pulpit that isn't repented of? How can the church in America reach the throne of God, invite the mighty Holy Spirit, when she is in such sexual sin that she looks just like the world if she walks in such unholy fashion and rejects outright the holiness of the Lord, how can she deliver anyone? And so as part of the status, it's clear to see that the pastors, the bishops, the deacons have failed miserably in the United States of America because there is sexual sin at the altar. And folks can go and ask, you know, pastor, oh, are there commercial movies in your home? Oh, are there Hollywood movies that people in your family are consuming? Is that what's going into our leadership? Really? If we look at food and gluttony, and again, we're looking at Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 49, we see that Sodom was arrogant, and as we see in America, we are one of the most arrogant nations on planet Earth because of our money and our military power and all of the resources that the Lord has blessed us with. It has caused us to become overfed. That's the word of the Lord. That's what he says, overfed and fullness of bread, if you want the literal translation. And we certainly are full of bread in the United States of America. We have become just like Sodom and even worse. And so we see obesity where we have no constraint at all over the flesh, and we continue to eat and eat and drink and drink. And we supersize everything, including our sins. And they might say, you know, hitting at the weight is below the belt, but it's the sin of Sodom, the Lord says, the overfeeding and the gluttony and the fullness of bread. Because what that means is there's an excess amount of free time, an excess amount of free time to fall into all sorts of diverse temptations. When we've already seen that with just the sexual sin alone and the entertainment that we consume, the church in the United States of America, not those on the outside, those that call themselves by the name of the Lord, those that are watching the Monday night footballs and the other lascivious sporting events that show the cheerleaders in the short shorts or the videos in the Hollywood movies. And these are like, oh, we don't spend that much time on it. And yet, isn't that like saying it's just a little sin? Certainly the Holy Spirit won't be offended by that. But that's the answer to the power outage. That's the answer to why the church has collapsed in the United States of America. And that's the answer as to why the call has gone out repeatedly from the Lord for national repentance and revival. And yet the United States is in such sin. She's made the Holy Spirit absent and has rejected his authority and has rejected his holiness, has rejected the holiness of the Lord. And so we eat and gluttonize in unholy fashion. We eat in church. The church lunches, the church bake, the church outer court. We have coffee shops and donut shops. And there we see buying and selling as well as also sexual sin. In the outer court, right outside of the doors, if we're fortunate and find one, if the Lord were grading holiness on a curve, they at least keep it outside the sanctuary. But we know there are many, many churches where they party inside the holy temple of the Lord. So the drinking and the leisure activities, where we think nothing of going to the beach half naked or nearly naked, watching sporting events and movies, again, immoral movies, themes of adultery, themes of revenge, and themes of violence and gluttony throughout the land. This is the garbage that has gone in. This is the garbage and the sin that has separated us from the Lord. And this is what the scripture says, don't offend the mighty Holy Spirit. And this is exactly what we have done, even at the altar of the Lord. And briefly, We'll start at the altar of the Lord, and we'll start at the leadership of the church. And we'll sum it up in Ezekiel 34. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of Man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to you shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourselves. Should not the shepherds take care of the flock? And here we could stop and say, oh, if my pastor is consuming pornography and my pastor is not operating under the power of the Holy Spirit, now we can see the word of the Lord is fulfilled. The pastor is not able to take care of the flock. If the children of the Lord are engaged in rampant, unrepentant sin, you can see it in the house, and you can see it in the children, the very children the Lord says were to raise up in righteousness. And the Lord goes on, verse 3, Ezekiel 34. You eat the curds, you clothe yourselves with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak, or healed the sick, or bound up the injured. Excuse me. And of course, if we stop there, we know that a pastor who is injured and injured by sin, for sin does cause great injury and then death, and they're mired in sin, how can they bound up the injured? And again, unless they are delivered, how can they deliver others? The Lord continues, you have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. And now we see that's been fulfilled. For they cannot bring back the strays or search for the lost. When the pulpit, when the altar, when the bishops, when the deacons, and when the pastors themselves are lost in sin, when they are lost and they're in sexual sin, and don't we see it all the time? When they are lost and they're in gluttony, and who can hide gluttony? Because suits don't lie when we see them. And it's as though they roll in and haven't missed a meal in their entire lives. This is not the sign of someone who is fasting and praying and ruling the carnal nature in the flesh. No, they are gorging themselves. Now, there are exceptions, but they're very rare exceptions where individuals will have medical conditions. But we've made a whole science out of that in the United States to justify our supersized gluttony. We have supersized gluttony at the altar of the Lord. And I would wager that there isn't a listener online that couldn't name five ministers off of the top of their head that have fallen into gluttony. So that it is obvious to all. As the word of the Lord says, some sins proceed before us and some trail afterwards. And so as they feed the flesh and fall into gluttony and let the carnal nature rule, it isn't long before the hidden sexual sins begin to be made manifest for all to see later as well. Verse 5, Ezekiel 34. Excuse me, going on with verse 4. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. And we see this with all the wild animals that have entered into the church of God and into the church with the false prophets, false apostles, false visionaries, all lying to the children of the Lord, not rebuking sin, not the holiness of the Lord they have removed from the church, not leading the children of the Lord into the kingdom of God. They have led them to the world and all of the worldly carnal things, money, prosperity and prosperity gospel, a new house, new home, new job, a new wife, a new title, all of these things that are carnal and not of the kingdom of God. And so the sheep were scattered, and they've become food for these lying, deceiving spirits that have entered the church through very carnal men, even into the pastors and the deacons and the bishops and the false apostles and obviously the false prophets. In the United States of America, there are more than the hairs on our head. We have so many false prophets. And you know that because if there was one real prophet of the Lord in the United States of America, she would have been in repentance long ago. And if the real prophet were in the United States of America, we would kick him out because we couldn't merchandise him. We would kick him out because we don't want to hear holiness. We would kick him out because we're not interested in righteousness. Don't preach to us like Noah. We don't want to hear what the Lord has to say. We want to hear what our flesh wants to hear. And the really sad truth of the matter is, the mighty prophet, Dr. David O'War, was at one time in the United States of America, and they did kick him out. And the Lord says, good, I will send him to other nations, and there I will bless them with the Spirit of the Lord and with revival and with the living Word of God. And you, in America, you will get the famine in the land. You will get the Amos 8 famine in the land, not for food, because we know we have plenty of that, but a famine of hearing the word of the Lord. And that has actually come to pass where there has been an outright famine of the Lord, his word, but the words of men and false prophecy is very cheap, highly commoditized, and on the lips of all the false prophets. The Lord goes on and says, my sheep wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them. And now the Lord speaks directly to the shepherds. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, because my flock lacks a shepherd, and so has been plundered and has become food for all the wild animals, that is, the fallen shepherds, the false prophets and apostles. And because my shepherds did not search for my flock, but cared for themselves rather than for my flock, therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against the shepherds and will hold them accountable for my flock. I am against the shepherds and will hold them accountable for my flock. That is verse 10 in Ezekiel chapter 34. That means that the false prophets, the false apostles, the pastors that are feeding their flesh, committing sexual sin, fornication, pornography, Matthew 5:28, looking upon all the ungodly images, pumping in videos, music, sporting events, and all of the other ungodly, unholy, unrighteous, abominable things of the flesh, the Lord, he will hold you accountable. The Lord goes on. And that's for the flock as well, and all of the flock that has gone astray. So one job one wouldn't want in the United States of America, obviously, is the pastor, because if you look at being accountable for the flock of the United States of America, somebody's in a world of trouble. I will remove them, verse 10 continues, from tending the flock so that the shepherds can no longer feed themselves. And then the Lord gives us good news. I will rescue my flock from their mouths, and it will no longer be food for them. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. Very good news, Ezekiel 34:11. For this is what the sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. And so here we are today with more believers of the children of the Lord outside of the church and the building than inside the church in the United States of America. For everyone can see, unbelievers and pagans alike, that there's no holiness and there's no righteousness and there's no power to deliver in the fallen church in the United States. And they can use grand eloquent language, and they can use the media and have all manner of language on their lips that sound good and sound righteous and sound holy, but their hearts are far from serving the Lord. And in their spare time, they're into consuming all manner of entertainment, which is contrary to God, which is contrary to the unholy spirit. For two or more cannot walk together unless they are in agreement. And if the pastors and if the church is in agreement with the world, it is clear she's in disagreement with the Lord. And so we've reached a place, the valley of decision, the Lord says, to either agree with the Lord or to continue to agree with the world. And today, throughout the land of the United States of America, from the East Coast to the West Coast, and from the northern border to the Gulf Coast, we have an entire church who's in agreement with the world, and who's in agreement with the enemy of her soul. And she has rejected holiness outright, and has brought in everything from the world into her private house, and it has made it into the house of the Lord. And the things that we bring and do in secret are indeed shouted from the rooftops. Sexual sin scandals are rampant throughout the land. But before that happened, it started secretly in the home, and it was brought in with either a television show, pornography, Hollywood movie, suggestive magazines, books, and articles or websites. These are the things that the leadership have let into their home in private. And now it has spewed out into the body of Christ and all over the nation in the United States of America. And we see the ministers in the rail. Oh, look at government. Oh, look at corporate leadership. How abominable. And isn't this exactly what the Lord said? How can you look at the speck in one's eye and not take out the beam, the telephone pole, in your own eye? And so it is with the church today in the United States of America. It is farcical, and it is a humiliating spot to be in. For the church is running around with her skirt lifted over her head. No power to rebuke sin if you're in sin and in bondage. And just as the metaphor, and a good metaphor, you can't bail someone out of jail unless you're on the outside. You can't be a deliverer unless you are delivered. It is clear that in the United States, there are very few, if none, that are delivered. For if she were, she would be out delivering others. Not in lip service only, but by the power of the mighty Holy Spirit. For he is the one that brings the conviction of sin. He is the one that opens our spiritual eyes and our spiritual ears. And if we don't repent from our sins, then we ourselves are in bondage and cannot deliver a dead and dying world and cannot deliver the word of the Lord with any authority and with any anointing, for we ourselves are in jail in need of being bailed out by one who is delivered. Ezekiel 34, we read through verses 1 through 11. For the state of the church and the leadership in the United States of America. The wickedness of the land is over the top. And one more scripture from Ezekiel will give a good insight into how it is that we are Sodom and what it is the Lord is calling for in the United States of America. And the Lord says in Ezekiel, this is chapter 22, verse 25. Ezekiel 22, verse 25. The conspiracy of her prophets in her midst is like a roaring lion tearing the prey. They have devoured people. They have taken treasure and precious things. They have made many widows in her midst. Her priests have violated my law and profaned my holy things. That's verse 26. Her priests have violated the law of the Lord and profaned his holy things. And there it is again. For if we are not walking in holiness and in agreement with the Holy Spirit, we ought not be surprised that there's no power and authority to deliver. For he is holy, and we have walked in unrighteousness and in unholiness. The Lord goes on to say, they have not distinguished between the holy and the unholy. Amen and hallelujah. And let's stop there. So if we looked in our own homes, this is the private home, but when we look at the house of the Lord, we'll get there. If we looked into our own homes, what unholy things reside there? Are there catalogs from Madison Avenue that are sexually explicit? Are there magazines from Sports Illustrated with the latest swimsuit edition? Is that in the house? Is there a cable in the house pumping in pornography, violent movies, and videos? What is in the house that one can distinguish between holy and unholy? I'm certain it would be far easier to find that which is holy in the house than it would be to count the mountain of information for all of the unholy things in the house, things not of the Lord. And we're talking about our private homes, not even the house of the Lord. Excuse me. We're not even talking about the buying and selling of merchandise in the house of the Lord. We all know Christ beat them out. If Christ came to your church and saw the tapes and saw the books, saw the coffee shop, he would beat them out. He beat them out with the whip that he made. That's the Lord that we serve. That's the King of Kings. That's the Lord of Lords. That's our Savior who died on the cross and shed his precious, very precious, mighty, holy blood. That's the Jesus that is preached about. So much grace. Oh, we have so much grace. Pastor Lou, this holy and unholy is a little bit over the top. But didn't Ananias and Sapphira, did they not die on the spot for lying? And was that not after the resurrection? And was that not the church age? Our God is holy, and we have tried to change him in the United States to another God. And in fact, the church has wholesale created her own God, a chimera, if you will, a God of flesh and spirit, but mostly of flesh. If we were honest, look around your house, go ahead, and look at all of the carnal, unholy items compared to the holy and righteous things of the Lord. Look at the music and who does it honor. Look at what does come through your TV with not carnal eyes, but the eyes of the Lord, through the Spirit of the Lord. And we see that these are defiling programs, defiling commercials, defiling media throughout. And we all know, and it's well established, the media is owned by very few in the United States and globally. And that media is controlled. And they only have one design in mind outside of making profit, and that is to turn the world into a giant carnal blob to serve the God of this world. Excuse me. And clearly and unfortunately, it's been very, very successful, even in the house of the Lord, as well as the children of the Lord in their own homes. Separate the holy from the unholy. The Lord is calling us to separate the holy from the unholy and get the unholy out of your own private homes, and certainly get the unholy out of the church of Christ, of the body of Christ and the house of the Lord. For the house of the Lord has collapsed because it is entirely unholy. And the Holy Spirit and the Lord himself, he's been kicked out of church. We have a feel-good gospel, preach a good game, and talk a good game. But no one has the power to walk it. It's as though they're holding their breath for 5 minutes. And, oh, if I can look good for 5 minutes, I've done it. And then, you know, the church service is over or the holy minute is over. I was like, oh, put my guard back down. And now I can be, you know, my carnal self yet again. And the Lord is saying, no, separate the holy from the unholy. The Lord continues, verse 26, nor have they made known the difference between the unclean and the clean. And they have hidden their eyes from my Sabbaths, so that I am profaned among them. The Sabbaths, the day of rest, in the holy day. And a better way, even yet, for the carnal church in America is to understand that these are days and times and seasons that are dedicated unto the Lord. And if we looked at even the best amongst us, again, if the Lord graded holiness on a curve, which he doesn't, for sin is death, but if he did and graded holiness on a curve, some might be thinking we're doing okay. Because, you know, on Christmas or whatever holiday or Easter or whatever, I actually took a couple of hours off or took a day off. When the fact of the matter in the church in the United States of America, the Sabbath is profaned constantly because of addictive nature of work and the addictive nature of the television and the videos and the movies and all of the compulsive behavior that you see throughout the land, that very few would take the time to spend with the Lord and dedicate a day to spend with the Lord. And these are merely the Sabbaths which the Lord has created for man, and not man for the Sabbaths and the Holy Sabbath in the holy time. These are times that are dedicated and set aside for the Lord. But no, we work and scramble on Sundays and we work and scramble on Saturdays. And really, there's no Sabbath in America because, after all, we've inherited the puritanical work ethic, and you must be working all the time or feeding your flesh with entertainment. And we call that good, and the Lord says, that's an abomination. Continuing, after Sabbath, so that I am profaned, says the Lord, among them. Her princes in her midst are like wolves tearing the prey, to shed blood, to destroy people, and to get dishonest gain. Dishonest gain is also rampant throughout the land. And how many of those call themselves by the Lord's name are out there wagering on a daily basis, I think we'll play the lottery. I think we'll get some gain. You see, Lou, that's not dishonest. I can play the lottery, and if I win, that's not sin. That's not really gambling, and that's not dishonest. And so you will know a tree by its fruit. It is dishonest gain, for it says, the Lord says, he has strengthened our arms to get wealth, and that the wealth created quickly is not a blessing from the Lord, for the Lord gives according to his word without curses. But when the Lord gives, it's with a blessing. And those that play the lottery and win the lottery have destroyed lives, and shortly thereafter, a sad fact but true, one worth looking up so you don't think this is an exaggeration, but the majority of those that win the lottery and gamble soon wind up bankrupt. They wind up bankrupt. How can that be? The majority wind up bankrupt within a very short period of time. It's because that money did not come as a blessing from the Lord. It was ill-gotten gain. It was carnal. It was gambling. We'll call it what it is. It's sin. And there are many in the house of the Lord gambling on a frequent basis. Is it any wonder that she has tolerated sin, thinking that the Lord has tolerated sin? But the Lord God, mighty Jehovah, changes not. And it is sin that needs to be repented of. And it is sin in the house of the Lord. And I know firsthand, I've seen it all throughout the United States. It's sin in the private homes too. And every state has legalized it just about. But that doesn't make it any less, that does not make it right. No more than legalizing homosexual marriage makes homosexuality righteous, for the Lord says that is a sin and an abomination. So here we see dishonest gain, verse 27. Her prophets plastered them with untempered mortar, seeing false vision and divining lies for them, saying, thus says the Lord God, when the Lord had not spoken. The people of the land have used oppressions, committed robbery, and mistreated the poor and needy, and wrongfully oppressed the stranger. Verse 30. This is a verse everyone will be familiar with. So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found no one. Let me read that again, just in case there's a misunderstanding. That I should not destroy it, but I found no one in the land. Someone who would stand in the gap for the Lord on behalf of the land. He found no one. And that was the second scripture of Genesis 18. And in Genesis 18, and we see Abraham plead with the Lord. And he said, Genesis 18:32, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. If 10 shall be found there, will you still destroy it?" And the Lord said, "I will not destroy it for 10's sake." This is the land of Sodom and Gomorrah that Abraham was pleading on behalf of. If there were 10, the Lord would not destroy it. But the Lord did not find 10 in the land of Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities therein. And so we look at the United States of America, and the question remains, Lord, if you find 10, will you destroy the land? And we see the answer. No, the Lord is very good. The Lord has been very good to America. For Isaiah 48, 9 through 12, and there we read that we would all be blotted out but for the goodness of the Lord. That the Lord has refined not as silver and not as gold, but there would be no hope. We would all be blotted out but for his name. For his name's sake. Romans 5:8, the Lord tells us, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And the church is in a horrible state of backsliding. She's in apostasy, and she's in disagreement with the Lord. And yet, while we were in that state, Christ died for the church, Christ died for the sinner, that we would repent from these sins, these abominations. It will take months to repent from these sins and return to the Lord. It's, by the way, Isaiah 48, 9 through 11. Isaiah 48, not 49. "For my own name's sake, I delay my wrath. For the sake of my praise, I hold it back from you so as not to destroy you completely. See, I have refined you, though not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. For my own sake, I do this. How can I let myself be defamed? I will not yield my glory to another." Verse 11, says the Lord. And we're just about out of time on the status update for national and revival. This is the status update for national repentance and revival in the United States of America. We'll cover more as the Lord leads next week. And also a very high praise report, and I thank the Lord for the Spanish-speaking population that have had a chance to hear the word of the Lord and respond, and the goodness of the Lord in the land of the United States of America, as well as throughout the globe. It continues to be my prayer here as we fast and pray and repent on behalf of the United States of America every week. We gather the end time saints and fast and pray and don the sackcloth and repent on behalf of the United States of America, that the Lord would open the spiritual ears and the spiritual eyes of the church, that she would repent, return unto the Lord, return unto him in righteousness and holiness, and be a bride prepared for the glorious coming of the Messiah. For time is over. Time is over for the Hollywood and the games. It's time to return unto the Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, Shalom. Shalom.